So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Season off for F1's sake is brought to you by Carfection, or maybe Carfection is brought to you by For F1's Sake.
So the last video that I put up on Carfection has had nearly 17,000 views. That's pretty good, I think.
Terry's State of F1 are the most talked about videos on the channel.
And let's have a shout out to Yash Katare, whose comment said, at this point, I can't tell if he's joking or actually serious.
Not only that, but Carfection on YouTube is the place to go for anyone who loves cars that are fast, expensive, luxurious, or just plain cool.
Antonius Yudistra says, I haven't seen a Carfection video with more dislikes. All right.
And it features the best looking car content anywhere online.
Matthias G. Lauper says, now I know how people feel when I'm told my jokes are not funny.
Visit youtube.com/carfection and support Terry Saunders now.
Lockdown has turned this guy crazy, talking absolute rubbish. This video will be removed by Carfection, mark my words.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, Styrian Grand Prix podcast. It's the same as the Austrian Grand Prix podcast, but not quite as good.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm going to be wet for the first part of it, though.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the podium robot of F1 podcasts.
We're more like, I know knitting machines aren't really a thing anymore, but you know if someone had like the Ferrari logo, but it was clearly done on a knitting machine by his nan, and you'd be like, that's not Ferrari, mate.
Knitting machine.
Oh, come on, Phil. You know what a knitting machine is.
I know what a sewing machine is. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean a knitting machine.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the excuse Bottas gives when he's had a bad day.
Didn't you hear it? You went, oh, I was doing the qualifying lap, but missed Apex finished. And then, for Formula One's sake, came on and it just put me off.
I'm Chi Grez, and today, from our houses, we are going to talk about the Styrian Grand Prix. Not Syria, not Austria, not Styrofoam, not STI, Styria. Keep up, robots, Ferrari, fuck-ups, all the usual shit. That's all to come. Joining me is a man who has literally done nothing this week. It is Phil Tromans.
Right, I can see this is going to become a problem because I'm still basically on lockdown. I'm not going out. I'm not doing anything. There's a race every week until the end of time, and more are just being piled onto the end. I don't think I've left the house since the last podcast.
Are you not going for runs?
No, I've got my bike machine in my garage, haven't I? So I don't even go for runs. I've cycled a long way. But
okay,
I
tell
also
us about what are you?
Give us a bike machine story.
Yeah. A bike races. Machine? That's not a thing. Are you thinking of a sewing machine?
All right.
My nan had a bike machine.
We called her bike. She was called the village bicycle. Oh, that wasn't why. That was a different thing.
I did do the virtual Tour de France. So.
Yeah. Oh.
They do this thing normally in real life outside. They do this thing called the Étape de Tour, which is basically one stage.
Sorry, when you say outside.
Yes, you know, in real life.
Oh, right, okay.
They do a thing called the Étape de Tour, which is basically a sporting event for the general public where you do one stage of the Tour de France. But obviously this year, they're not doing it. So they did it virtually on the virtual cycling system that I use, which is called Zwift. So I joined about 1,800 other people cycling in our garages all on the same virtual world, charging around France, which is quite fun.
And alongside him is a man who has had a haircut. It's Terry Saunders.
Yeah, I didn't really feel that myself with my hippie hair. So I went to the hairdressers this week and, you know, it was all interesting. It was, you know, it was COVID safe. There was a little hand sanitizer. The guy was wearing a mask. Well, the problem is, it's kind of like a... The place I go to is like a Turkish barber's. And I hadn't really realized in the past just quite how much they touch you.
Oh, say what you like about the Turks, but they... Actually, I've just, when they're cutting your hair.
They missed you.
I just realised, actually, that I don't even know if they are Turkish. I'm just thinking they are, because Turkish barbers is a thing. So we spent the last two podcasts, me waxing lyrical about Black Lives Matter and anti-racism, and then the next week I just casually go, oh yeah, foreigner cuts my hair, probably Turkish, don't even know. He was speaking funny. But
did they do? Have they all got individual special powers where they do something weird to you as well as cut your hair? Because that's my experience of Turkish barbers, is they all have their own individual thing, whether it's like a finger massage or a singing in your ears with a lighter or something.
This guy gave me a proper face massage, which, you know, to the point where you're just thinking, okay, if you've got COVID, you've just put your finger on my nose. I'm pretty sure I've got it now. Thanks, mate. And every time he cut it anywhere near my fringe, his fingers just kind of hit my face. Just probably just basically just slapping me, which, you know, you pay extra for.
Yeah, maybe watch some of your videos.
I didn't know at what point to take the face mask off or to do it. So I said, oh, so what do we do? And he went, well, just take the face mask off. And I'm like, oh, don't make it sound like I'm being stupid. We are in a pandemic. And then I felt really stupid for having a face mask on. And then he just put everything in my mouth. Chica, how's your haircut stroke bike riding week been?
I've had no haircuts. And I've been bike riding, but with no good stories.
Like Phil. My haircut cost 60 quid. At least I got a fucking anecdote out of it.
60 quid?
What are you talking about?
Have you ever go at me?
Fucking hell. That face massage. I hope that face massage was fucking amazing. Okay, you lefty slags. Here's listener's corner. Before the race on Sunday, we were treated to a highly entertaining and very soggy qualifying in which Lewis Hamilton produced a lap from the gods to finish more than a second ahead of anyone else. But you lot seemed more impressed by a Williams. Russell Trigg said, every qualifying session should be a wet. Can't remember the last time I got to cheer on a Williams into Q2. Bernie's sprinkler idea seems like a good idea now. Mike Hawkins said, I think Saturday made up for Sunday being a bit quiet. It let Russell show off in conditions that levelled the cars somewhat.
That was a good qualifying.
I mean, it was great. I mean,
that Q1 alone was better than all of the French Grand Prix.
All of the French Grand Prix, plural. All of the ever French Grand Prix there's ever been.
That's what I mean. Well, certainly since they came back to...
No. All of the French Grand Prix. Well, Magny-Cours. No. Some of them are good, but not as good as that Q1.
Dijon was pretty good.
That Q1 was better.
79, whatever it was.
Come on, let's do this
anyway,
year.
All right, fine. It was cracking, wasn't it?
Bloody great.
Maybe Bernie was right. I mean, not about the racism stuff.
Well, if he's right about one thing.
To make Formula One exciting, add a load of water, and then you see who the good drivers are. And the good drivers turned out to be the drivers that we thought were probably the good drivers.
And George Russell. And George Russell.
Well, we've been saying George Russell's pretty good.
Yeah, but we've never seen it. And now we've seen it. So yeah. I was happy.
He was a lot better than I thought he would be.
On Saturday.
Sunday, he was rubbish.
More on that later.
Oh. Yes.
But no, it was... that lap... Did you go into any detail on that lap? Did you watch it back?
Yeah, of course. I think Chica probably did as well. Yeah, both of us.
It might be the best qualifying lap I've ever seen.
Which one are we talking about here?
Hamilton's.
Oh, I thought you meant Vettel, sorry.
To absolutely annihilate everyone. I mean, he was beating everyone by half a second even before Verstappen tried to match him and then spun off at the third attempt, having nearly crashed twice already. And then Hamilton added another more than half a second to that as well. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. He gets a lot of stick, Hamilton. Sometimes justifiably, sometimes not. But he's a redonkulously good driver.
That's not a word, but that
it is
works.
Now.
Yeah, it works.
He deserves a new word.
Okay. But once the race got going, everyone wondered how Ferrari were going to compound their already rubbish weekend, having qualified solidly mid-pack. We didn't have to wait long to find out, as Charles, the future Leclerc, poured a whole pot of ink over his copybook and rammed the rear wing off his teammate. Both cars retired. Will Bowen says, good to see Leclerc following team orders this week. Last week's second place finish is not in keeping with this Ferrari's plan for this year. Nathan Smith says, Ferrari are proper shit. Car shit, drivers are shit. Next year's driver being outclassed by a 20-year-old. Isn't this brilliant? And Ben Turnbull has an idea. I have an idea, he says. Ferrari could cheat. I'm almost 100% sure they would get away with it. And even if they were to get found out, they could try to use their status to manipulate the FIA in covering it up.
Well, I've been thinking more about this whole, you know, did they cheat, did they not last year thing? They did.
Yes.
And actually, you know, we were all quite angry at the idea that the FIA said, okay, we'll do a secret agreement and, you know, we're not going to announce and have any transparency what it is. And everyone got rightly angry. I think the FIA have pulled a fucking masterstroke here because they said, right, you're not going to get any punishment except we've frozen the engines this year and you're fucked. And you are fucked. And actually, you're fucked for the next few years because there's only like 3 engine upgrades in the next 20 years allowed or something. So
is this just the FIA brilliant. Just letting them stew in the yeah. mess that they've made for themselves? It's like, maybe that's the reason why they didn't give Leclerc a penalty as well for one of the worst bits of overtaking I've ever seen.
This is the new FIA. They're just there going, do you know what?
Your penalty is you have to wear Ferrari colours and parade around in front of everyone.
Yeah, you made your bed. Terrible. You better fucking lie in it.
Wow. Your point about the engine freeze, it's not just a case of them being rubbish now. I mean, they could conceivably be rubbish for the next 2 years until 2022.
Yeah.
And even then, it's much harder now to upgrade.
And even then, 22, the engine upgrades aren't that much. I mean, you'd think it'd be enough to kind of equalise things, but
I think you can sort of start again with a new version, can't you?
I don't know. I'm not.
It's all very complicated.
I'm just copying things I heard on another podcast.
Yeah, we thought last week was crap for Ferrari. This was just even worse. It was like just every single session they just got worse and worse and worse. You know, qualifying was abysmal, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, they've got out in their first session of qualifying, or if it was the second session of qualifying," but and then they crash into each other on the first lap.
I tell you what, I don't get. So there's a lot of people saying, "Oh, Vettel's having to qualify in the mid grid, and now you know that's why he's going to have trouble because you know he hasn't been there for ages." But Leclerc was in a Sauber like 2 years ago, so you'd think. Of all the drivers of the top teams who had to go back to being qualifying like 11th or 12th, he's the one that only 2 years ago regularly qualified there, and surely he should have the racecraft to at least get through the first corner. Maybe.
To not try and go for a gap where there's no gap when there's already 3 cars trying to go for the same space anyway. I mean, it was piss poor from Leclerc. And in fairness to him, he did stand up immediately afterwards and go, that was entirely my fault.
I'm not having this. Just because he owns up to it, that doesn't make him a better person. He would have been a worse person if he hadn't, so I disagree with myself. But I don't like people giving him credit for going, oh, yeah, it was me, I did a really bad thing. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, you know, oh, by the way.
I think people are giving him credit because you would put money on most F1 drivers not doing that.
Exactly. I think it's a nice change to have an F1 driver apologize.
It's nice that he owned up to his horrendous and unforgivable mistake that completely ruined the entire team's weekend.
Fuck.
And yes, the car is shit. The drivers are not doing very well. Sainz is going to be really regretting everything, I think.
Good. I don't like him.
So after the race, everyone probably forgot about the on-track battles because of what surely must be the finest innovation of Formula One since the Pirelli National Hats. Yes, it was the trophy robots that stole all of our hearts and stopped the drivers having to shake hands with some disease-ridden local official. Tristan Clayton says, stick a rear wing on a podium robot and the Ferraris would be even nearer the back. And David Setterfield says, an even better idea, he says, what about a podium robot race? Whose idea was this?
I don't know. I didn't know anything about them until I saw them, and I was like, holy shit. Apparently they were in the F2 and F3
races. Yeah, I saw the F2 race, and that was kind of fun. Phil.
This is what F1's all about, pointless over-engineering.
Okay, when you say pointless over-engineering, what do you imagine is in those boxes?
I'd imagine it's a large box with a remote control car underneath it.
Right,
but
which is
it's probably made out of carbon fibre. Probably more expensive.
It's exactly that. It's a remote control car with a box resting on top of it. And out of shot, there's a bloke with a little remote control going forward.
Yeah. I love it.
That's not a robot. That's not an innovative Formula One robot. That
it's as
is
much as a robot as Johnny Five was, and Johnny Five was a proper robot.
No, no, that was a film, Phil. And that
this is a film, Terry. That you robot, don't think Formula One's real life, do you?
No, that robot had character, Johnny Five. You know, if he'd have given Lewis Hamilton his trophy and then did a little speech about going, you know, I know about Black Lives Matter, but also robots' lives matter, and I want to be a real boy, then maybe we could have gone with it. But instead, it's just like fucking...
Give them a chance. This is only the first episode of Podium Robots, you know, the soon-to-be spin-off series on Netflix from Drive to Survive.
I'd watch that, actually.
I imagine it's going to be like Dynasty, just, you know, with compelling characters and drama every week.
Wouldn't it be better if it was more like Robot Wars?
Oh, I love Robot Wars.
So you'd have
we could have themed episodes each week.
So hang on, could you have
like the losing teams? They make the robots.
Oh, nice.
It'd have to be for the following week, unless they have to be quick.
Yeah.
Right, you've got 5 minutes to make a podium.
Well, Ferrari had 2 hours, to be fair.
Alex Kyriakou has health concerns. Really good race, but the social distancing is, well, bollocks. The trophies are handed out by toy cars in front of the TV's cameras like they are contaminated, but behind, where we can't see, everyone is huddled together like battery hens. What is with that?
It's bubbles. Bubbles, Alex. Everyone's in a bubble. If you're in a bubble, you can do whatever you like with those people. They can massage your face, other things. But when you're not in a bubble, you don't go fucking near them. That's the point. And the thing is, it's been overkill, right? This has been total overkill, but also Formula One kind of has to be overkill because they've got to be seen to be doing better than everyone else.
Safe than sorry.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, if they don't do something, basically, if anyone in Formula One gets coronavirus, that person's team is shafted because they'll all have to isolate, and there's a race every week and they'll miss at least a couple of them. And that's their season completely annihilated, unless they're Williams, of course, in which case it won't make a difference. But
or Ferrari, to be fair.
Yeah. So they've really got to be super... You know, we'll talk more about the rules on that kind of thing later, I think. But they've got to be super-duper careful. And yeah, it is a little bit silly when they're all standing, you know, 30 feet away from each other and they're all wearing masks all the time. But better that than giving each other coronavirus.
In other news, Racing Point had a more reasonable Styrian race, but could they be in trouble for cheating copycats? Renault says yes, and have lodged a protest with the FIA about the suspiciously Mercedes-like RP20 that led to stewards impounding some parts from the pink car and asking Mercedes to supply examples from its 2019 W10 so that they can be compared. Racing Point says Renault's protest is misconceived and poorly informed. Right. What have Mercedes said about this?
Mercedes are staying as far out of it as they possibly can, although they've been legally required to hand over some brake ducts. This is the particular parts they're talking about here, to the FIA so that they can compare last year's Mercedes brake dusts with ducts with this year's Racing Point brake dusts. Basically, dust. That's really hard to say.
Ducts. It's just so boring, isn't it?
And no, this is proper F1.
But how did Renault know?
Renault strongly suspects.
How do they strongly suspect?
Because business. We don't know, I don't think.
No, because Renault were behind.
They basically said, we think that they have illegally copied these parts. And from what I can tell, the thing about the brake ducts is you can copy the brake ducts by, you know, looking at pictures, which apparently is legally fine. But there's a load of stuff going on inside the brake ducts, which you wouldn't be able to copy unless you had the blueprints for them. And Renault were saying, we think that they're the same inside.
But how do Renault know that?
How do they know?
Well, they don't. Maybe they're just grasping at straws. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
The thing is, if Renault were ahead of Racing Point right now, they wouldn't give a shit. And that's what annoys me.
No. Well, that's F1 all over, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it annoys me. It's all
They'll do anything they possibly can to sabotage them.
And it's just so boring.
At the very least, it means that the Racing Point haven't got any brake ducts for a few days.
The thing is, I know that we're recording this podcast and I like to sound informed and prepared, and then I like to back it off and sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but, you know, secretly, I'm there.
Officer, yeah.
So I was watching some videos and trying to read an article about this, and everything I did, I got bored within like a paragraph. Just can't be fucked.
It is the area of F1 where a lot of people tune out, but then there are a hardcore, you know, group of
especially
people
especially
like, oh, this is the best bit of it.
And I'm not saying that you should break the rules, because they won't be, in a couple of years, the rules won't be the same. But it is funny that from next year, all the teams have to do these like open source parts and give, like, if they do a certain part, they have to go on an open source list and any other team can use it.
Yeah, it's like quite, Wikipedia.
So it's quite funny now. They're going, we've just done the rules a couple of years in advance.
But this has happened since as far back as I can remember. So it's way before we've started watching it. You know, remember the 1976 season where Hunt was disqualified for having his wings slightly too wide, and then he was reinstated, and then he was disqualified again, or whatever the hell happened. You know, this
well,
always goes on. They'll do anything they possibly can to nobble the other teams.
Two more Grand Prix have been confirmed for 2020, bringing us up to 10. The fun keeps going on in Italy on September the 13th, the week after Monza, when we head to Mugello for the first time and what's been dubbed the Tuscan Grand Prix. Then we're off to Russia on September the 27th, which is actually what was planned before all this malarkey started. And remarkably, the organisers say they're going to try and let fans in. Do you know what? I, as a viewer, do not miss fans at all.
No, I entirely agree. On the TV coverage, you cannot tell at all. Apart from the fact that they don't swamp the track and they don't have anyone to pointlessly cut away to during actually quite interesting moments.
And also, for the last couple of years, the fans have all been fucking Verstappen orange-wearing wankers. So they're annoying. Although, I think what could happen, to go back to our earlier point, what if when the cars, you know, when the race finishes and they all go to the podium, instead of fans, podium robots swarm the track.
Thousands of them.
Hundreds and thousands of them. And maybe... Yeah. You can pay to have what your face put on one of the robots.
Oh, I love it. Like cardboard cutouts just on a lollipop on the top.
Yeah.
No, I'm all over it. Was it Honda did something years ago where you could pay to have a message or your photo or something as part of the collage on their car? And I would pay 50 quid to have my face on a podium robot that was driven straight at the drivers. Especially now that they have the podium on the main straight.
Mm. Yeah.
They should literally just come flying around the corner like a swarm and just barrel down at the drivers who then have to get away. No, this is a great idea. Brilliant. I was going to say, should we talk about Russia first? Because that's sort of a known.
It'll be boring. Everyone's going to die.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking, letting fans in, but, you know, let's wait and see how that goes.
Mugello will be Ferrari's 1,000th Grand Prix, officially.
Yeah.
And it's, because I think it was even going to be called, like, the Tuscan Ferrari 1000 or something. But obviously, Ferrari aren't doing very well this year. Now, I reached out on Twitter and asked, I should probably find out who said this because someone actually did the work for us. Fuck it. I asked someone to work out, because you know we were talking last week about how Ferrari have actually been shit more than they've not been shit over the years. So I asked on Twitter for someone to work out what is their average finishing result over the 1,000 races, or you know, 970, whatever. And the answer I got back was, depending on the way you work out averages, either 5th or 8th is their average race finishing position.
Wow.
And I think, actually, that's achievable. And I think they should do a big PR blitz to say we are aiming for 5th and 8th at Mugello, because I reckon that's doable.
Yeah. No, that'll definitely sort them out at Mugello in Italy on their 1,000th race.
Yep, be fine.
At a track that they own as well.
Yep.
They own Mugello.
There is but a way they can win this, which is the wacky races style of, like, oil slicks and upturned nails.
Greg Carter is the man who gave you that information, who did the maths.
Thanks, Greg Carter.
Oh, cheers, Greg. Tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake, or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake, or email us at wrong@ff1s.com. And thank you to all the women who have donated since my rallying cry in the last episode. They are Joanna Greenland, who says, point for Chica for standing up for the lady fans.
Thank you, Joanna. Although, is it just a pint for Chica?
Well, it'll be a half.
And Emily Chalkley.
Thanks, Emily. You're a trooper.
But what about the men, you ask?
All sexes matter.
Paul Hewings.
Thanks, Paul. Red Bull's got Paul Hewings. Gives you Paul Hewings. Red Bull gives Hewings.
Wow.
That's actually quite good in the end.
I mean, subjective, but yeah, no, I like it.
Fuck you.
Jason Wright.
Jason, right.
Or right at the back. That's a Michael Barrymore reference. Sorry, Jason.
Adrian Barua, who also says, please can we have a Haas podcast? Just an edit of you saying Haas.
It's a bit weird. It's very specific.
It's like ASMR, isn't it? H-A-A-S.
It's probably more money, isn't it?
Haas. I'm going to open a bar of chocolate whilst thinking Haas.
Thinking.
I'm going to open a can of beer. Ready? Anyway, thanks, Adrian.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Adrian. Thanks very much.
Keep us going by buying us a pint or a four-pack by heading to...
ff1s.com pint shop pint.
So, yeah. I expect you'll all be wanting to be reminded of how the teams performed at last week's race. Well, we will start with Mercedes. Bottas's brakes were as glazed as our eyes listening to his excuses. Hamilton put on an absolute masterclass of a qualifying. How long until Bottas gives up again, do you reckon?
Well, at least another year, because he's got a new contract.
No, I mean gives up on the championship. I mean, come on.
Now. I think he should have given up on it already.
Because you know that
He did this last year, though, didn't he?
Yeah, because he wins the first race, and then he's just like, this year I can do it. And then Hamilton just turns up and goes, Sorry.
I'm a second and a half faster than you on one of the shortest tracks in the
game. I didn't realise we were starting last week. Sorry.
He grows a beard, he wins a race, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Hamilton was busy ending racism last week, so, you know, this week, he's on it.
Yep.
That wasn't being facetious.
Races.
Yeah.
He gave racism the checkered flag.
He still has more points, though.
Yeah, but, you know. Okay. I'm actually surprised. I think they should put Russell in the car next year. Fuck it.
Really?
Yeah, well.
Is Bottas the second best driver?
No.
What, of everyone? No. But you don't want somebody who's nearly as good as Hamilton in the same team because they'll clash.
Yeah, you want the sixth best driver, and he probably is.
If you were Toto Wolff, would you choose Bottas?
If I was Toto Wolff, there's a lot of things I'd do. No, I'd go for George Russell and Vettel. I'd fire Hamilton.
What? Well, just to put your mark. Are you like one of those people who gets a new job and feels like they have to do something to put their mark on it, even if it's a completely stupid thing and everything was fine as it was?
If I got the job tomorrow as Mercedes head of Formula One, I would fire Hamilton, make Bottas a lead driver. I'd make Bottas a lead driver and have Vettel next to him, and I'd make the cars red.
Wow. Mercedes were completely dominant again, even if qualifying threw things around a bit. Once they got going in the dry, Bottas made his way to the front. Hamilton was absolutely imperious. Several more races happen. Hamilton wins the title. We go on to next year and the same thing happens again.
Although it'll be good this year because he'll beat Schumacher's win record and he might equal Schumacher's 7 championships. So
He will.
Let's let him have that.
Too soon, Phil.
No, he will.
Ferrari! So Leclerc went partying in Monaco and was obviously still high on GHB as he just had to try and mount his teammate. Vettel looked almost statesmanlike for once as he limped back to the pits. Hear Leclerc's apology if there was a charm championship. But his driving cock-ups were not the only thing he was in the Ferrari doghouse for, were they?
No.
So
as if all those catastrophes weren't enough.
Leclerc and Bottas, let's not forget, went to Monaco last week.
Where they live,
but they're not allowed to go to, technically, because everyone should be staying in a bubble. And so Bottas...
What was their excuse?
They live in Monaco and they're Formula One drivers and they do what the fuck they want.
They wanted to go home.
Got you. Yeah.
So Bottas didn't get into too much trouble because he said he stuck with his trainer and his girlfriend, which, fucking hell, that's going to be an awkward thing, isn't it, to be a trainer? But, what are we doing tonight? Great. All right, well, if there's socks on the door.
So that was all fine.
But Leclerc was partying in Monaco and got photographed by the Paps, which means that he definitely wasn't sticking to his bubble.
They're not allowed paparazzi in Monaco.
Well, someone took a picture.
Okay. Pap or otherwise. I feel like that's the wrong thing to be fixated on here. You could have died of coronavirus and you're worried about privacy.
So
the media doing their job.
Leclerc has got in trouble. Although, you can't prove that Bottas was good just because he didn't get photographised.
No, I mean, he might just have been better at not being caught, but...
Well, because no one knows who the fuck Bottas is. He could probably be in Monaco with a big banner up going, Valtteri Bottas is having a party. And everyone's like, who the fuck's that guy? Oh, Charles Leclerc, quick. Charles Leclerc was probably at Bottas' party.
Nobody even noticed. He probably organised it. It's a funny one, this, because he got an official warning, Leclerc. I don't really know what that involves, other than just going,
please don't do it. You're making us look stupid. That's what the warning was.
This
please.
Again, if it turns out now that Leclerc, because, you know, with a whatever it is, 14-day gestation period or however long it is for coronavirus, he could well have coronavirus now and could have passed it on to everybody else at Ferrari.
Which, let's be honest, could be fucking genius.
A convenient excuse.
How much trouble would he be in after, if he had coronavirus and after his massive cock-up last weekend? So he'd given it to all the team and anyway.
I think if he gave all the team coronavirus, they'd probably forget about his crashing into Vettel. It would mean that Ferrari couldn't race for several races.
Yeah, but the last race while they were all still okay, he fucked it up.
Do you reckon they fire him over that? I reckon, because that would be a fireable offence.
Probably. I mean, they are testing everybody up the wazoo. They've done, you know, something like 10,000 tests.
They're testing up the wazoo now.
Well,
Jesus,
I don't know how
Christ.
It works. I mean, this is what we were talking about last week with how they do the temperature checks. Maybe they do. Maybe they listen to us. I don't know. But there's a lot of testing going on. So they probably would have caught it if he had caught it, so to speak. What was the question?
Would they fire Charles Leclerc if he gave everyone the virus? Because on one hand, he's got a 5-year contract and he's the future of Ferrari. But on the other hand,
I mean, it's probably written into his contract. If you give everybody in the team a deadly disease, your contract is null and void.
Wasn't it charming that everybody, the commentary and everyone watching, presumed that it was Vettel that had hit Leclerc for about 5 minutes and then go, oh, shit, fuck, okay.
Yeah, for once, Vettel didn't do anything wrong, apart from be quite slow. But having said that, he was quicker than Leclerc in qualifying as well. So, you know, one all.
True.
Red Bull. Despite everything and not being quicker than Lewis, Max still binned it on the most important lap of the year so far. Alex Albon has settled nicely into the Gasly role of being in the right position, but so many seconds behind is a bit embarrassing. Is Vettel going to come back home?
No.
Well.
Unless you mean by home, you mean back to his house.
So Christian Horner said on practice coverage outright, no, Vettel would not be coming back to Red Bull. But I have heard rumours since that Dietrich Mateschitz himself has told the team to bring Vettel home. So
is that true, or is this leading up to a joke?
No, I've heard that rumour.
Where is this rumour? Where did you hear this rumour?
Maybe Twitter.
This is the kind of in-depth reporting people tune into this podcast for.
I mean, I may have just dreamt it. I may have written it down and then read it and gone, oh. That's how journalism works, isn't it?
I had not heard that. But also, well, what does bring him home mean? I mean, that could be like, you know, off him.
No, they want to bring him back so he can be Max Verstappen's number two.
He won't do that.
And they have Gasly and Albon at AlphaTauri and fuck Kvyat.
Wow. I think they'd replace Vettel with Kvyat after half the season.
Oh, can you imagine? I don't know. I think in terms of a story, it'd be quite good to see him back at Red Bull, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a story, but it's not going to happen. Also, right. We forgot that he hadn't been... I said he hadn't been in trouble this week. He was in trouble for talking to Red Bull. He was caught talking to Helmut Marko and Christian Horner, and none of them were wearing masks. So Vettel got in trouble as well.
That's because he doesn't have to, because he's a Red Bull driver by heart.
Wow.
50 quid that Vettel goes to Red Bull.
Hang on, let's just talk about the gambling here. Are we doing 50 quid to each other? Are we putting bets on? Or are we doing 50 quid to Dog's Trust?
I mean, it's academic because he never pays.
Oh, I'm good for it.
We are going to have to break your legs at some point. If we don't do it, the Dog's Trust are going to do it.
Right. Okay. All I'm saying is 50 quid, the Vettel goes to Red Bull eventually. Which means I don't have to pay up.
I'm not a gambling man, so I'm not taking that bet. But
I don't have to pay up until Vettel dies, in case he does a comeback.
I was going to say this could massively backfire on you if there's an unfortunate incident. But anyway,
oh what? So is there's a horrible crash with Vettel? I go, oh, I'm 50 quid down. Oh, boo hoo me! Jesus, think about his family, Phil. Fucking hell.
Alex Albon.
Yeah, whatever. he's gone from being my new favourite to just that kind of that driver that's just there.
Two races is all it took in consecutive weekends, and he's consigned to the Terry scrap heap.
It's just, bless you.
Thank you.
It was just this kind of, you didn't notice him, and then at one point you look at the timing screens and he's 30 seconds behind Verstappen and you're like, oh, fuck it out.
Yeah, he's got a few good turns of pace. He could have won last week.
But he's not Bottas, and that's what they need. Bottas, let's give him credit. Bottas is Bottas.
So you think Bottas should go to Red Bull, is what you're saying?
I think, actually, ooh, do you know what? If they were to bin Bottas and go to, you know, get George Russell in or something, I think Red Bull could do worse than get him into Red Bull.
That's not a bad shout, actually. He'd be a good number two to Verstappen, I think.
Yeah, he knows his place.
Yeah.
McLaren. Lando did another last lap social media blitz and gained 34 positions in the last 6 inches of a track. Sainz had a bad pit stop but a good qualifying. So what does that matter? He's off to Ferrari and must feel like a right dick. How smug do you think Norris feels when he looks over at the end of the race and sees two Ferrari DNFs?
Pretty smug.
Yeah, I mean, what happens this year? I mean, I know that you got the kind of rookie season and then you get back, but Norris was kind of good last year. I know it's only two races, but he's been outstanding these last two races.
So he's
been good. He's now third in the championship.
Yeah,
Norris.
But I mean,
but what happened in practice though? He did misbehave.
Well, that was a bit of a stupid rookie mistake.
Well, he was ill. He had like some weird back thing or something.
Yeah, don't go into that because that's why we haven't had time to talk about.
But we have had time to talk about it.
God damn it.
We're talking about it now. That's not how that works.
People will realise that this isn't.
You don't stop people from talking about things so you can say later on, oh, we forgot to talk about the thing. That's not how it works.
Well, I'm going to have to come up with something else now. All right, fine.
No, you talk about that.
No. We've said it now. You know, it's out there. The embargo's broken.
He had some weird. He had to have painkillers and had chest pains and all that kind of stuff, which I think is why he got the yellow flag. I think he was just going, oh, this hurts. Because he did back off. That's the way I think of it. Because if you see the footage, there was a yellow flag and he was just about to overtake someone. And he backed off, but he still overtook because he went slower, but still was going quicker than the other car.
And the rules are don't overtake under yellow.
No, exactly. So he got it wrong, but it wasn't like he ignored the yellow flag. He just kind of.
That is stuff that's drilled into you at the first. Like literally, years ago, I took my racing license, and they sat you down and went through these are the flags. This is what they mean. These are the rules. Don't do this. If there's yellow flags, slow down. Don't overtake anyone. He should have known. There's no excuse. And I think he held his hands up and said, "Yeah, stupid. Sorry."
He did, and it was very good of him to hold his hands up and apologise. I always applaud that when a driver does that.
Yeah. Sainz was there. Sainz let Norris past.
Well, because he had a bad pit stop, and there was a great moment on the Sky coverage where they were interviewing Sainz before the race, and there was pit stop practice going on, and you see him look up, and he's like, they're just doing pit stop. They look, because it was all noisy, and he was just kind of going, oh, let's wait, answer the question after this. And he looks up, and you can see they bungle the pit stop in practice, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't have looked at that. It was just so weird. Then the next day, he's like, oh, yeah, they fucked up your pit stop, mate.
They were practicing the Sainz stop. So he ended up having to let Norris past, and did, and everyone was like, oh, that's actually what they should have done. Well done.
We should actually speak about Norris's last lap, because that was pretty epic.
Again, for the second week in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was good, because obviously Perez was limping around with his broken car, having tried to do a Hamilton.
But even before Perez, because he was coming up, what? He was coming up behind, was it Ricciardo and Stroll? And they were having a little scrap, but he just got in there and ended up in front of them. That was very impressive driving. And I'm very, very fond, from a design point of view, of the pink Racing Point, the orange McLaren, and the yellow Renault all being on track together. That is a nice palette.
Do they reflect well on the colour wheel?
Yeah. It's a triad.
Just quite floral.
Yeah. Chintzy.
That's what everyone's going for this season.
Well, chintz. Speaking of which, Racing Point.
Nice.
Tracing Point forgot to copy the wet bits of Mercedes. Perez tried to copy Lewis and hit Albon, but got that wrong too. Yes, he hit Albon, but just stop and think about the fact that Racing Point is racing and very nearly overtaking a Red Bull here. And Stroll was good.
Yeah,
they did well, and also not great.
I don't
the
know.
The Lance Stroll story.
I think Racing Point were excellent. I think that was such a good performance from them.
Yeah, I mean, they were good. They were good, but they've got a fast car. And the driver that did the best.
You ever got a fast car? Someone.
Yes, the Tracy Chapman
Stroll is in
Phil,
the top
Phil was
10.
Giving a profound review there, Terry. Don't sing over.
No, sorry. I'll always happily be interrupted by Terry Chapman, so it's fine.
Said your prayers hasn't changed your tyres.
But okay, so an excellent car.
Yes, they've got it. They've got a quick
really
car.
Good, but not good in the wet.
No, not at all good in the wet. They're absolutely atrocious in the wet. That car does not work when it's not dry. As soon as it's dry, very good. But yeah, the slightest bit of rain, you watch now. They're going to. It's going to rain at every single race. And they're going to be well up.
Maybe
that.
Renault should carry water tanks, and when there's a racing point behind them, they just let the water tanks go and see the racing point go.
Didn't that actually happen back in the day?
What?
Wasn't there some sort of, in the rules where they said they couldn't, the times when they said they couldn't have the cars going up and down, something to do perhaps with ground effect? I'm sure there was I now can't remember the details. One of the teams, I'm sure, had tanks that were filled with water. And they set off, and then they immediately dumped all the water out of the tanks, and it had the and it changed the height of the car and gave them extra speed or something.
I've never heard that, but that sounds like the kind
it
of thing
like,
I'd
it
make
does
up.
Sound like the kind of thing that probably happened. Anyway, the point is, yes, Stroll went from 12th to 7th, so I think that, you know, the Lance Stroll story.
The biopic. This poor boy that came from nowhere, started 12th, and ended up only with his daddy's billions finishing 7th. Wow.
AlphaTauri.
AlphaTauri, Scooby Dooby.
Are we doing tunes for them as well now?
No. So on the plus side, Gasly made it to Q3 and Kvyat got a point. Other than that, there'll be no Styrian postcards filled with fond memories from AlphaTauri. If you had to spend lockdown with an AlphaTauri driver, which one would you choose?
Kvyat.
Gasly.
Oh,
there you go, one each. Done.
Okay.
No, because Gasly, you'd get Gasly a bit drunk and he would just be talking about Red Bull the whole time. Whereas I reckon Kvyat, enough time has passed, he'd give you some like salty anecdotes.
Gasly just seems like he's a bit more fun.
Oh, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No.
To be fair, I don't think either of them be any fun.
Well, true.
Who would your Red Bull Academy driver be then? Scott Speed?
Well, which Formula One driver in general, Chica, would you like to spend an evening with? Not in that way.
An evening.
Like, you know, go to the pub with, when pubs are a thing again.
Oh, I think I would go with Kimi Raikkonen. Be hilarious.
Obvious.
Would he? He wouldn't give a shit. He'd just sit there.
I don't think he would be hilarious. He'd treat it as like a sponsor thing and he would just be rude. And I bet he's really rude to waiters.
He's not. I don't think he'd even rude. He just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
everyone.
You want someone that wouldn't try. You would want somebody that's like...
Well, he wouldn't talk to you. He'd just sit there.
A drink or a date? Who would you want to go on a date with?
Well, it's going to have to be Alex Albon.
Even though you've gone off him?
Yeah, it'd be one of those weird Tinder dates where you go, God, I hope he hasn't checked my Twitter.
Renault! Ocon had a mighty quali and then his car overheated with a problem. Renault was sure they'd fixed. Ricardo was also there. I actually read a review of the race which described his finish as a photo finish. But actually, only on looking at the results did I see that he'd actually managed to finish at all this week. He was 8th, by the way. Was it me? But I barely saw him.
Yeah, he didn't
see
him.
You saw him at
featured.
The end because he was a crucial part of that, colour wheel. Triumvirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I only...
No, I agree.
Well, he's in Renault.
He wasn't there. But there was a great story about Renault. So last week, they had this engine cooling problem which kicked Ricardo out of the race. Mm-hmm. And they tracked it down to being a certain part of the radiators and there were cracks on the pipes or something. So at great Formula One style expense, they sent these faulty radiators back to Enstone to get them fixed. And then they got them, flew back, you know, and they had to go through quarantine and all the rest of it and get special permission. And they got sent back to the track. And then the same thing happened. And all I can think is they must have gone through all that. And the last guy who delivered it must have just like dropped the box.
Yeah, it's probably like Hermes or something, just probably lobbed it over a fence into Parc Fermé.
Yeah, we've left it at the Red Bull Ring.
Yeah, we tried to call, but you were out. It's like we're in a garage with our name above it.
It's more likely they go, yeah, it's at Silverstone.
What? Another meh for Renault.
Alfa Romeo.
Alfa Romeo, oh, push pineapple, shake a tree. Alfa Romeo, push pineapple, grind coffee. To the left, to the right, jump up and down and to the knees. Come and dance every night, sing with a hula melody, the lovely beach in the sky. I really know all the words to I could do. I did not know that.
Oh, is that what that was?
Kimi Räikkönen was on every advert for Sky F1 saying something that made slightly less sense every time before blasting some Shirley Bassey. Giovinazzi buggered it up in qualifying. Where are Alfa Romeo in the standings? Are they best of the worst or worst of the mids?
Yeah,
it's very tricky because...
That was not the answer, Phil.
No, I think it is.
It's very tricky because Alfa Romeo and Haas have got this big problem in the back of their car, which is the shit Ferrari engine. So their cars might be okay, but they've got this engine that's been downgraded through no fault of their own.
To answer your question, Chica, they're the best of the non, they're the best of the non-works Ferrari teams. How's that?
Ooh, nice.
By which I mean they've got 2 points and Haas haven't got any. Okay. But they're also only the 8th best of 10 teams at the moment. So still pretty terrible. Räikkönen's turning it up and phoning it in. And Giovinazzi, bless his heart.
He's been doing that for years.
Just isn't.
But he finished 11th.
Good.
And you know what? He was
and
quite
actually,
way
in fairness, for a few moments in qualifying, everyone was like, oh, there's Giovinazzi. Suddenly up near the top.
There's
my favourite bit was when he got a 5-place grid penalty and then realised that actually he's already at the back anyway, so...
No, there is something remarkably depressing about a wet qualifying where an unexpected driver gets to the top and you go, fucking hell, they did a fucking... Oh, it's the new Senna. We should have known that Giovinazzi was like, oh, he's just dropped all the way down the order. Okay, yeah, I get what happened there.
Within two laps, the track gets 3 seconds quicker.
Okay.
But that, you know, I like that. I like that it adds a bit of a je ne sais quoi to the proceedings. It's like the whole pitting for new tyres and trying to get a fastest lap. Adds a little spice to something that could otherwise fizzle out a bit.
True.
Williams. Russell was the hero of Saturday with a career-best P17. And then, when all spotlights were on the rising star, he binned it at the start of the race. So are Williams better this year, or is it more that Haas and Alfa Romeo are shit with the Ferrari engines?
I think he did better than P17. He started P11.
And that font's very weird.
Sorry, I don't have any numbers on my laptop, so tell me.
You don't have any numbers on your laptop?
That's the most cheeky thing I've ever heard.
Cheeky, two ways around this, right? You could have written the word out 11th. When you say you don't have numbers, are the keys missing?
They just don't work. Look, I'll press 4 now.
No, that's 4 come up on the document. Poor listeners, the Google Doc that we are all sharing has all the numbers coming up in order as Chica is trying to prove that the numbers don't work.
So the numbers don't work, but then very occasionally, if you press them hard enough...
Only when you're recording from the laptop do the numbers work.
So anyway, it's been a very stressful few months not having any numbers on my keyboard.
It sounds like it. But imagine how stressful it's been for George Russell.
He did really well. He did so well on Saturday.
On
and
Saturday.
Then on Sunday, he didn't do quite as well.
No, well, he started well, and then he spun into the gravel. He's still young and inexperienced and in a crap car and trying everything he possibly can to prove that he's a good driver, even though his car's terrible. And I think he actually, overall, he's doing a very good job of that. But
To an extent, he would have finished out of the points anyway. Like,
he probably would have just gone backwards.
But... He didn't have to go backwards quite that quickly.
Or literally go backwards.
Yeah.
But once again, it did show that the Williams aren't quite as terrible as they were. They were still at the back, but they were sort of, they could still see everybody else, as opposed to sort of being lapped within two laps.
Better than last year, yeah?
Yes, definitely better than last year. Latifi, there was one point in the middle of the race where I looked at the thing and Latifi wasn't last. And I sent out a tweet going, oh my God, Latifi's not last. And then within a few laps, he was last. He's not as far back from Russell as I frankly thought he would be so far. But, you know, let's give him a couple more races.
Yes.
Just trying to mix it up.
I mean, the they both finished, which didn't look likely after qualifying, so well done. What happened with Grosjean's water pump?
Broke. Oh, no. Just
gave up.
Yeah, well, it broke to start with, but then the team had to fix it way into the night. They broke the rules on Parc Fermé. Because the rules say by X o'clock, you have to be out. You can't mess with your car. If you do, you'll be in trouble. But they basically said to the stewards, look, we have to fix this or the car's not going to work.
What does Parc Fermé actually mean?
Closed park. So, yeah, they're not supposed to touch the cars after that point of view. I'm not quite sure why. Presumably so the mechanics can get some sleep.
Because the cars are lava.
Oh, that's a great idea for a round. When we do the third Austrian Grand Prix later this week, whenever it is.
Just one lap. Lava. No, one lap, but the lap is lava.
Well, you can only drive on the curbs or on the grass.
Yeah, or in the pits. On the tarmac. If you're luckily in the pits, you survive.
there are
obstacles. There are obstacles.
So
there'll be little bridges and like ramps and ropeways and stuff. It's great.
Anyway, Grosjean's... Yeah, so basically the team breached Parc Fermé rules because they had to fix his car. Because they're like, if we don't breach the rules... Oh, we won't fix the car and they can't race at all. So he had to start from the pit lane, which meant that he was at the back, where he probably would have been anyway. Didn't get any points. They still haven't got any points all season. Only Williams also don't have any points. They're not having a very good season. But they did finish, which is better than last time.
Which house would you rather lock down with?
Magnussen.
I knew you'd say Magnussen and you're wrong.
Why did you know that Phil would say Magnussen?
Because the obvious answer is Magnussen, because he's more fun than Grosjean. But if you think about it, if you're going to be in close quarters for a while with him, he's going to get quite feisty and there's going to be some kind of supremacy battle and he's probably going to win because he's a Formula One driver. Mm. Whereas I think with Grosjean, you could really put him in his place quite early on.
See, I would relish the battle of wits, whereas you just want to crush people straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now to the standings with Terry Saunders.
And in the lead of the championship is Bugfix. He's been downgraded back to Bottas 2.9.13. It's Valtteri Bottas. Second place, Hamilton sent a lookalike for the first race, but he's back now. In third place, you know that when Norris gets to a party, it'll be nearly over, but about to kick off. In fourth place, quick, we need a way to distract from your Monaco party, Charles. Crash into Vettel. In fifth place, they didn't quite copy the driving bit of Mercedes. It's Sergio Perez. In sixth place, I can see my career slipping away. It's Max Verstappen. In seventh place, he's going to Ferrari, and now he's also the shittiest McLaren driver. It's Carlos Sainz. In eighth place, he's settling into the Red Bull number two routine. It's Alexander Albon. In ninth place, he's settling into the AlphaTauri number one routine. It's Pierre Gasly. In tenth place, Dad. It's Lance Stroll. In 11th place, next year I'm going to be overshadowed by Alonso. It's Esteban Ocon. In 12th place, next year I'm going to be overshadowed by Norris. It's Daniel Ricciardo. In 13th place, next year I'm going to be working in Lidl. It's Antonio Giovinazzi. 14th place, I won't take a knee because of Russia. Daniel Kvyat. And in 15th place, 1 point. Oh, fuck, that's all I'm going to get this year, isn't it? It's Sebastian Vettel. And for the constructors, as the news has broken in the UK that masks will become compulsory in shops, I thought, if the teams were people, what kind of mask wearers would they be? So, in first place, it's Perfect Mask. It's Mercedes. They'd wear it properly and it would be washed every day and they'd have a box of them. In second place, the McLaren mask will be drenched in Johnny Walker. It doesn't affect getting the virus, but life's a bit happier. In third place, they didn't wear masks at the start of it, but by the end, they'll have a really good one. It's Red Bull. In fourth place, see Mercedes answer. That's Racing Minds. I actually made myself laugh at that. I wrote that this afternoon and forgot. In fifth place, they're outside the shop demanding to be let in without one because they've been shopping here forever. It's Ferrari. In sixth place, they wear a mask, but it just falls off in the shop. It's Renault. In seventh place, it's nice colours, but they won't buy anything. It's AlphaTauri. And in eighth place, they will wear a mask fine, but it won't matter as the customer will keep slamming into the wall. It's Alfa Romeo. No, it's Haas.
It is Alfa Romeo. It is Alfa Romeo. You were right. Haas has got no points. Alfa Romeo have got two.
Oh, okay. Fuck it. That'll do. I always like to end on a high.
So it is time to reveal this week's man of the match of driving. Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton. Oh, fuck it.
We all agree.
We never agree.
I thought you were going to go for Norris, so I thought I was going to be
chastised for picking the obvious one.
Well, in which case, let's move on to the state of F1 and Terry Saunders then.
This is the off-season catch-up episode, where this is something that I was mulling over on the off-season that lasted for three seasons, which is reverse grids. They nearly came in, but then they didn't. Unusually, Ferrari have been doing their best to prove how it might work with this year's car, but ultimately, Mercedes vetoed it, because even though it's exciting for us to see the silver cars blaze through the field, it gives them an unnecessarily stressful day at the office. But you've got to ask, do we really want to see Giovinazzi being swamped at the first corner and the running order being topsy-turvy for the first few laps? Yes, of course we do. Something different. And if we're happy with Scare Electric's podium celebrations, we can adjust to anything that makes a Mercedes 1-2 at least a bit of an effort for them. Imagine Lewis and Max scything through the field to still end up dominating. Ultimately, it's a rule that needs to be applied, not before a season, but halfway through when it gets a bit dull. Liberty can pull the lever and say, "Not so fast, Stuttgart, you're starting at the back for this one." Of course, F1 is F1 and they'll game the system, purposefully not qualifying well in some fast that means Saturday will be a weird washout with just Latifi setting a lap. But don't worry, I have a solution. Reverse grids probably won't work, as the rulemakers at the FIA are never quite as clever as the team's engineers and strategists. But luckily, those boffins are not as clever as me. I propose, wait for it, reverse grids. But Terry, how is your solution better? Well, in my utopia, the cars all start in the order they qualify, but they have to face the wrong way. Imagine the opening lap of a race when all the drivers have to do handbrake turns, or Perez deciding to do the first lap backwards, or Ocon doing a three-point turn that holds up the cars behind. It will be glorious carnage.
Yeah, I love it. It'd be like a sort of modern twist on the Le Mans start.
Exactly. Imagine that.
That was the state of F1, brought to you this season by Carfection. And Terry, what can we look forward to this week?
This week, we are going to tackle the thorny subject of cameras in Formula One and the TV coverage and how it makes Formula One look shitter in an episode I call Make F1 Look Great Again.
The internet's going to love it.
All I'm saying is, at one bit, I'm in a trolley in a Morrison's car park.
Find the state of F1 right now at youtube.com/carfection and stick around to discover the best looking car content anywhere online. That's youtube.com/carfection now. That is it from us. It's goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We have not had time to talk about... Shit, Terry, your subscription to Autosport has elapsed. I've reached my limit of 10 stories this month, but I can see the first paragraph of this underneath that information. We've not had time to talk about breaking news that, according to Autosport, outgoing Ferrari driver Sebastian Vettel is in discussions over a deal to join the Aston Martin Formula One team for the 2021 season.
You fucker. I just looked up Autosport and found that story.
That's what you get for stealing my Lando's bad backstory.
We haven't had time to talk about Lando Norris had a bad back. And really, we should have found time earlier to talk about that, but I'm trusting the producer, Matt, would have cut that out earlier, so I don't sound like a total dick now.
We'll be back next week to discuss the Hungarian Grand Prix in Hungary. In the meantime, though, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1Sake, and follow us on Twitter at forF1Sake. You can buy FF1S stuff at...
You do it, Chica, it's fine.
ff1s.com/shop.
You need to put the space in there where you left a pause. Just saying. It's all lowercase. See, it's not as easy as it looks.
Thanks for listening. See you next week. I'm Chica S. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.